Good afternoon and welcome to our pre-Thanksgiving episode of And Then There's That. Do you mind?
I'm sorry.
A bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at our newest venue, the Mall in Columbia, with my co-host, Dennis Lane. Joining us today is Colleen West, the Executive Director of the Howard County Arts Council. But as always, we'd first like to take a look at some of the news making the headlines this week. What you got to get us started, Mr. Dennis?
Well, we got a couple of, if you follow, you like themes. And we have, I guess, a theme this week is education in a kind of convoluted way. My first education story, I know you had one and I have one. Mine was this, a little bit of a dust up over at Howard High School. Apparently a group of students got together and made up some T-shirts.
Would this be a good time to remind you that we can't use profanity on the show?
I won't, but I'll use initials because we live in a day and age of initials where instead of saying, oh, my God, people go OMG.
LOL.
LOL, right.
LMAO.
Right. Thank you. Anyway, Howard High School's main football rivalry apparently is Long Reach High School. And prior to, I guess, their annual big game, some enterprising students over at Howard High decided they'd go out and get some T-shirts made up. And the T-shirts simply had on them FLR. And they were selling very well, and kids were wearing them.
Now, who were they playing that day?
Long Reach.
Okay.
And so now the students say, they innocently said, that FLR means fierce lion's roar. But apparently some other people took it a bit differently.
And I can imagine that.
And the principal has since ordered them to cease not only selling the shirts, but they can't wear them.
The fascinating thing, when you use an acronym like that, you really can't prove what the intentions were.
Thank you, counselor. Right.
No way to do that.
But what was funnier to me was, as I was kind of reading about the story and got a good chuckle on it, I looked on the web and playing around with some initial stuff, and there's a high school up in Wakefield, Massachusetts, that their track and field team had T-shirts made up that said WTF. And apparently the boosters are selling them like hotcakes.
Hey, if you got the right initials, run with it.
That's right.
So we got another disgruntled resident in Howard County that's decided to sue the Board of Education. And it occurred to me, 60% of our tax dollars go towards our education system in the county. So I'm thinking there are people out there that are looking to sue the Board of Ed and the public school system.
Get a little piece of the action.
Just get a refund. It's like a tax rebate. So, anyway, the latest is a guy that was I guess he was attending an Oakland Mills High School game, football game.
As a fan.
He was a fan, and he was down on the lower level, just behind the field. And I guess he wasn't terribly happy with the way the game was going and was yelling things out. And apparently, no profanity. It was all clean. He said things like, is that the best 11 players you got out there and stuff like that? He wasn't happy with the way the game was going.
Right.
And now I guess I should point out that this particular gentleman doesn't have a great track record as a model citizen. He has been suspended for drinking. not that there's anything wrong with drinking. Underage drinking. And so anyway, apparently the assistant coach, a gentleman by the name of Brian Henderson, and I use that term loosely, got into a verbal altercation with this fan that
the
was disgraced. He was the heckler.
This is a high school football game.
High school football game. So,
trying to keep this perspective.
Right. So anyway, end of the game, the spectator left, happened to stop and buy some Girl Scout cookies, and was giving them out to patrons. I just find that whole part of the story amazing
That happens every time I go to a high school football game. Somebody buys.
Disgruntled fans, they stop, buy some cookies, and they give them out to the fans as they're leaving.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Seem to fit.
Sounds like something an attorney might have thrown into the complaint just to make it kind of look good. Anyhow, so he offers the cookies to this coach that he apparently irritated during the game, and the coach comes charging at him, and he was then held back and restrained, and he apparently there was minor contact. Well, anyway, this whole incident apparently justifies this gentleman, this heckler, to recover $1.5 million from the Howard County Board of Ed.
Because he got perilously close to him, or he got almost close enough?
Well, he was defamed, and he was ridiculed.
Oh, my God, the poor child.
Was. The other angle in the story that I just find fascinating, and we've talked, Dennis, about sports today and how coaches tend to take sports to new heights.
Yes.
Yeah, this is another example of this. I mean, this coach, right, wrong, indifferent, whether he charged this guy or didn't charge the guy, whether he assaulted him or not, It's a football game. It's a high school football game. Do we really need to be taking this so seriously that we're going to assault spectators?
You know, we've gotten to, we built these games and these sports up to be such bigger things than they are. Again, I think somebody once, or maybe it was you, said, if we spent as much time or got so excited about academics as we did about football and basketball to a certain degree in this county, then we wouldn't be number 30 in the world as far as science and math education. You know?
And then there's that.
And then there's that.
Dick Story.
Dick Story. Well, you know, it's funny. When you talk about dicks, I got another story. But, you know, yeah, Howard County's going to be dickless for the first time in 17 years. I mean, this is huge. Dick Story has been the economic development director, for 17 years in Howard County.
Done tremendous things in the community. He's been really a champion of putting Howard County on the map. He's just been a tremendous, tremendous asset from a business development perspective.
And it got me thinking, you know, there's a lot of big dicks in this county. I mean, there's Dick Talkin, who's kind of, you know, he's getting up there, and he's, you know, he's still very involved. He was at the cultural thing the other night. But who was the other?
Dick Pettingill.
Dick Pettingill. Well, this county has a history of big dicks, and we're going to lose one. So
it's a shame.
I had to do that. It was just too good of a story. And while we're on that, Kelly Woodhouse, a reporter for the Howard County Times, did a great kind of interview with one of the prostitution's been big in the news. The police
sticking with your theme.
As I said, sticking with the dick theme. The police department has had a couple of stings on Route 1 in recent months, trying to, you know, to cut down on the prostitution in that area. Apparently, it's become quite a problem in the North Lawler area.
And you know this firsthand, or are you just reading about it?
I'm just reading about it. I wouldn't know about that. But the great thing was, so Kelly Woodhouse, to her credit, had this great interview in the Howard County Times with a woman who works in the trade. And actually, the title of the article was Career Streetwalker, The Money Hooks You. But that isn't what got me. What got me was the description. You know, and fantasy-wise, guy's fantasy, when you talk about a prostitute, I think most guys, if you say the word, they think of the Las Vegas, you know, very sexy, very, you know, attractive streetwalker, you know. Julia Roberts, pretty woman. Right, exactly. Our producer, you know, that's kind of the image that we come at. Well, that's hardly the image of the woman, the Kelly interview.
So what does she look like?
Let me see. The description is, she had short, bleached blonde hair, two missing teeth, and a tattoo on her right arm. She wore thin gold-rimmed glasses, cut-off shorts, and a white tank top with the word love written across the chest in bright pink lettering. Lovely, huh?
Now, is this in Howard County portion of Laurel, or?
It says North Laurel, so I got to believe it's the Howard County Times. You know, obviously she didn't disclose who she were. You know, it's funny. The woman wished to remain anonymous, but with that description, I think she'd be pretty.
I'm just wondering if this contributed to Howard County being designated as the second best place in the country to live, work, and play.
To raise a family. That's good. That's good. All right, what else you got?
So, you know, election's come and gone now. You know, we've agreed to sort of take a break from the election, but I think one newsworthy story was the Howard County GOP kind of looking inward and looking at itself. You know, we had national sweeping reform. The Republicans did very well nationally.
Everywhere but
Maryland. And I think it's interesting, and I think it's a good thing that the Maryland and particularly the Howard County GOP is taking some time to look at what went wrong. And
yes.
I just hope that it's not going to be a bunch of excuses, because we've heard them before.
Sure.
Howard County is a great place to
voters live. Voters are lazy, you know, dumb, and happy. You know, fat, dumb, and happy.
Happy because Howard County is such a wonderful place and whatever. These are all factors, but I think there's more there, and I'm hopeful that they're going to take the opportunity to really look deeper and see what those issues are.
Is there a punchline there?
No, that's it.
That was sincere.
That was very sincere.
I'm very touched. Okay, well, before we get to our guest today, we're going to talk a little bit about our sponsor this week, which is the upcoming Ball in the Mall.
And actually, the mall in Columbia is our sponsor.
Yes, true. And they will be hosting the, you know, I don't know what annual it is, but the Ball in the Mall is actually a Columbia tradition.
It's been around for a long time.
It has. You know, when back in the early 70s, when the mall first opened, as a matter of fact, it may have been the first year the mall was open.
Like early 71, 72 time frame, right?
It was the big, it was like 72. It was the biggest thing that, you know, in Columbia, obviously, all of a sudden.
Dude, there was nothing in Howard County or Columbia way back then.
I was here. I was in high school. Back then, as our producer told us, that it was the first Ball in the Mall was BYOB. And it was
more acronyms.
We got that going on. And the tickets were $8 a piece. I assume it's going to be significantly more this time around. I think it's like $100 per person. And it's going to be a dance and in the mall.
It's a New Year's Eve bash, basically.
Right, on December 31st, to a fundraiser for the Columbia Foundation, which is...
I think 50% of the proceeds go to the Columbia Foundation, right?
Right, right. Okay. So, you know, if you need more information, you can contact the Columbia Foundation at columbiafoundation.org, and I'm sure you can get all the information. And I think you might want to get on that quick because I suspect tickets for that will sell out relatively quickly. Well, kind of in the news, and even our producer's been involved in it, there's been a series of cultural meetings around town, kind of focusing on this new, the town center and its cultural aspect, cultural arts aspect, as they want to make the new town center kind of an arts mecca for the county. And keeping in line with that, our guest today, Paul, want to make the introduction?
Sure. Joining us today is Colleen West. Thank you for joining us, Colleen. Yep.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Colleen has been the executive director of the Howard County Arts Council since October of 97.
Yeah.
It's quite a tenure.
Wow.
It is.
Wow, that's a long time.
It is. And I've loved every minute of it. It's the best job in Howard County.
And, wow. you don't just say that because you're on the air and you want to make sure that everyone knows how happy you are. And I happen to be a board member. And none of that's relevant.
No, absolutely not. I say that wherever I go.
Good. Well, let's start with a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get in the arts? And
Well, I was trained as a visual artist. I went to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design and got a degree in painting and printmaking. And at that time, I met my husband, who was actually from Bel Air, Maryland, and his grandfather was born and raised in northern Minnesota, where I was from. And we met at art school, and once we graduated, we both decided to move out here to the East Coast and establish ourselves. We spent some time in Bel Air and moved to New York City for about 10 years and had a loft in Williamsburg under the Williamsburg Bridge in Brooklyn.
Sure. Over in Brooklyn.
Very trendy.
Yeah,
which is really now very, very trendy.
Yeah.
Not when I lived there. You couldn't.
It was a really
even,
arts district back then. Huh?
It was, you couldn't even get a taxi to go over the bridge. So they'd drop you off on the one side of Manhattan, you'd have to walk to the other. But it is quite happening right now. And then we wanted to have a family, so we decided to move back to Maryland. And
the rest is history.
Yep.
Now, you have Minneapolis College of Arts and Science.
Art and Design.
Art and Design.
Mm-hmm.
Is that much like our Maryland Institute?
It's very much.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the same similar curriculum.
Yes.
And
Same association.
Okay.
Because the fine arts colleges.
So do they play each other in football? Or?
Yeah.
or maybe paintball.
There you go. Lots of paintball.
Yeah, lots of paintball. Yeah. Lots of paintball. I make jokes. Now, so you settled here in Howard County. Tell us, though, I guess until Paul knew it, because he's on the board, I didn't know that the Arts Council has an executive director. So what does the Arts Council do? How does the average person know about you and what you do?
Great. Well, we do. We have three main functions. We advocate for all the arts in the county. We fund the arts. We provide about $350,000 in grants to arts organizations a year. And then we foster the arts and individual artists through the Howard County Center for the Arts, which is a 27,000-square-foot facility in Ellicott City.
That's a former elementary school, correct?
It is.
My alma mater, I might add.
No kidding.
Really?
Rockland Elementary School?
I didn't know that.
The very room that we have board meetings in was my third grade classroom.
No.
Yes.
Now, how does that work?
So what's my office? Do you remember? Was it the principal's office?
That was the principal's office. I never been there.
I don't believe it.
Not Paul. That wasn't his style at all. Now, how does that work? Artists, do they rent space there? Or?
Yeah, we do. We have an affordable space for, we have 14 visual artists who have studios there. They have 24-hour access to their studio to make work when they feel the need to, get the creative spirit. We also have three arts organizations who are in residence there, and we have 10 arts advancement groups who hold meetings and workshops there as well. So it's...
So does the rent that these artists pay, does that help cover the expenses of operating the facility?
Yes, because the building is open 7 days a week till 10 in the evening. It's on the weekends till 4 in the afternoon, unless we have a performance on Saturday night. So then we're open until 11 or midnight.
So Dennis talked about funding. What other sources of funding does the Arts Council have to keep it, to sustain it?
Well, there is the rent. There's also memberships, and we are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year, and we have an annual fundraiser called the Celebration of the Arts in Howard County, and that brings in about $100,000 a year. We're hoping to net 70 on that. This year, our goal, if we do make that net of 70, we would have raised $1 million in the 14 years that we've been doing the celebration. But wow, that's a big portion of it, and that's our main portion of corporate support and individual leadership gifts.
So I want to come back and talk about the Celebration of the Arts, because that's a big initiative this year. But before we do that, let's talk about some of the other things you have at the center. Obviously, you have the studios.
Yep.
During the summer, you have art camp. Is that right?
We have performing and visual arts camps for 8 weeks during the summer.
Wow.
We employ independent contractors. Artists come in and teach those camps for us, so we're providing employment for artists at the center as well. And in addition to the summer camps, we do classes year-round for children and adults.
So I want to get back to the funding before we move on from that. So you give out $350,000 a year, mm-hmm, to various arts organizations and artists, individual artists as well?
Well, the only individual artist awards that we have right now is a choreography grant and then our Rising Star Award, which is connected to the Celebration of the Arts.
Okay, so that's what you give. But your funding to you comes from this, you do this this fundraiser.
And earned income from classes and camp, earned income from the rental of the building, government grants,
okay,
both state and
grants,
local,
mm-hmm.
So Howard
County,
federal.
Howard County gives you a check every year?
Yes, they are very generous. They give us most of the grant awards that we give out are county funded.
And you get a federal grant through the NEA? Or?
Yes, we do. Uh-huh. We have a program called Head Start in Art, and that's a pre-K program for children at risk, low-income families, and we place visiting artists in the classrooms with about 120 kids through that program.
So that's got to be a little unsettling, though, with budget cuts and everything, because you never really know what you're going to get every year, do you? Or?
No, but the earned income is pretty steady, and, the state funds have dipped a bit over the last couple of years, but the county funds have stayed fairly steady.
Okay.
So at the center, you've also got studios where you show off art of local artists.
Yes, we have two gallery spaces. We have a committee that reviews slides of images that artists submit for review. Our committee puts together exhibits. They change every 6 weeks in the center, and then we hold a reception for each of the exhibits that we have. So we have the public coming in, meeting and greeting with artists, doing some nice cultural exchanges, mm-hmm, in a kind of very nice, relaxed atmosphere.
And you, there's actually quite a waiting list, is there not, to actually get into display the art?
Well, for studio space, we don't have a lot of attrition with the studios. And as long as the artists are fulfilling the requirements of their leases, we want them to stay there and create a community of artists and, create a home for the arts.
But the galleries themselves, those
in terms
are,
of the right. galleries, we are booked 2 years in advance for exhibit space.
Well, I could imagine, though, but going back to the studio, if you had more studio space, you could probably fill it up just as easily.
I think we would. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We do have many artists coming forward looking for studio space, and we just can't, we turn them away.
Well, the problem, and this often comes up, that Howard County is, because all the construction is relatively new, so for artists to find cheap space to, old warehouse, just doesn't exist here.
That's correct.
Rockland Elementary is about the best you're going to get.
And it's kind of an odd place to have an arts. In a typical community, an arts facility like that would be in the center of the town.
That's correct.
And you're out in the suburbs.
Yeah, and,
suburbs of Ellicott City.
It's funny that you should mention that, because time and time again, we keep hearing that folks want a multipurpose art center here in downtown Columbia. That's certainly one of the findings through these community meetings that we're having, and it keeps getting brought up, it seems to be the perfect place to have a multipurpose art center here downtown.
So you've been involved with that?
Oh, yes, I've been involved for many different
sessions.
Hats. And this latest meeting, this group that's been put together is yet another entity that we're studying to see how we can reshape downtown and integrate the arts more fully in downtown Columbia.
So what does that really mean? What would that look like to the average Joe in Howard County?
It would look like an arts and entertainment district would look like, you know, an iconic building that's dedicated for the arts with arts activities happening inside as well as outdoor spaces, either public art or performing arts in the outdoors, cafes, jazz clubs, maybe some art film houses, places where people can walk from site to site and drop in and enjoy the arts or enjoy a cup of coffee and you know, be in an aesthetic kind of center.
Before Gail Lord was brought on by now the Howard Hughes Corporation to kind of drive this, did you know of her? Is she a well-known person in the
arts? Yes, she's very well-known. She's done a lot of work with the Walters Art Museum in Baltimore City.
Okay.
And so she has experience here in Maryland as well as all over the world.
Okay.
You know, this community has all kinds of black tie affairs and galas and this and that. And the one that you do, your kind of big deal that you have every year is the Celebration of the Arts. And I think it's gotten a lot of accolades because it's different.
It is. It's got just a lot of...
A lot of different components, and it just attracts a lot of different people from different walks of life looking at different things. Can you walk us through sort of what
I was going to say, I've never been, so you'll have to tell me...
I'm going to be hitting you up for a sponsorship before the day's out.
Okay.
And
then there's
that. And then you're going to know all about it.
Because we do have that goal that we have to meet, you know.
But if you could walk the listeners and Dennis through what the Celebration of the Arts is about, because it really is just a tremendous event.
It is. And we try to incorporate all the arts into one event, and including the culinary arts.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
We usually have about 24 restaurants and caterers who partake in the event. They donate their food.
Where's this help?
Well, you should ask, because we've been doing it at the Jim Rouse Theater from the very beginning, because the Arts Council was involved in that public-private partnership that established the Jim Rouse Theater. This year, for our 30th anniversary, we wanted to be able to celebrate a little bit more than we could at the Jim Rouse Theater, and we wanted to move it to the college, so it's going to be at the Horowitz the Visual and Performing Arts Center.
Beautiful space.
Yes.
Beautiful space. So you have a couple different... theaters there that you can do different. So will you use all the different?
Yeah, we're just like at the Wild Lake High School, we will be taking over that building. They're very kind. They allow us to start loading in on the Wednesday before, but we have a silent auction of about a little over 100 works of art in the gallery where people can bid on their favorite artwork and walk away with it that evening. We have the culinary arts in the Grand Hall. Again, we expect about 24 restaurants as well as liquor distributors to be there to have the networking part
that
of the
sounds
evening.
That's really cool. So you said culinary arts, and then I cut you off. So let me. What else do you have?
And then even during the reception, we have entertainment, whether it's a music group or a dance group.
I hate mimes.
We may just incorporate one for you, just special this year. In the recital,
you would too. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Just cause.
And in the recital hall, we'll be having classical music. In the recital hall, we're going to have a screening club this year. We're going to be transforming the Black Box Theater into a lounge type atmosphere. We have Damon Foreman, who is going to be performing during
Howard County's favorite jazz artist.
Of course, and he's going to be entertaining our guests in there. And then, after about 2 hours of networking and drinking and eating and bidding on artwork and listening to music, we will then move into the theater for our program. Dick Story is our MC. He's been doing that for about 3 years for us.
Okay, great.
And it really makes that connection about how important the arts are to the business community. And so we have him as the voice of the business community on stage and seeing the program for us.
So you won't be dickless this year?
No, we won't. We won't be. And during the performance, we then feature 10 rising stars. It's our version of the American Idol, in which we have 10 performing artists who present their program, and the audience votes through a ballot system on their favorite artist, and that person wins a $5,000 no-strings-attached professional development award.
Now, when you say rising stars, are these high school, college students?
They're 18 to 35.
18 to 35?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and we have comedians, we have singers, we have classical opera singers, we have instrumentalists, we have percussionists. We have all kinds of. Boy, this is so nice.
I know. Yeah,
Colleen. This is so great.
Cider from Williams.
Colleen got a little flustered here. William Sonoma just brought us some cider and some
pumpkin pie squares.
You know, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We got thrown off for a bit there, but this is one of the nice. The first time we've had this happen at a show.
That's
Somebody give us a little treat in the middle of an interview.
William Sonoma more often, and you'll get more.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So where were we?
So we were talking about our rising stars, and we also that evening we give out a Howie Awards for to people who have done some significant things for the arts over the years. We usually provide a Howie Award for the outstanding arts educator, outstanding artist, and outstanding business or community supporter of the arts.
Just one Howie Award?
Three.
Oh, three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, one for each.
Each of those categories. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Dennis was busy drinking his cider.
Got kind of thrown off by that.
Dennis, what's really cool about this event is, ever since American Idol has really gotten some legs, and kids have really enjoyed that. My daughter has started coming to this event.
Because of the voting.
And she loves it. Yeah, she thinks it's so cool. It's really neat. It's a great way to expose kids to art and incorporate them into the process of selecting
the winner.
And when is
this?
This year is March 26th.
March 26th, mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a great thing. Mid end of winter.
Yep.
Mark
your calendar now, because we really do anticipate it selling out this year.
I think you have picked a great venue. I am a big fan of the Horowitz Center. I don't know if people listening to the show have not been there. It has got to be the coolest art space in Howard County.
It is stunning.
Yeah.
Colleen, you talked a little while ago about Dick Story and the role he plays in emphasizing the importance of arts to the business community. When you think of a metropolitan city like Baltimore or New York or Washington, I think it's a little bit easier to talk about incorporating business into the arts. How committed have Howard County businesses been to the arts in this community?
Actually, the businesses have been very committed. In terms of the national standings, actually, our business support outperforms nationally what corporations give.
Really?
The funny thing is the individuals, even though the individuals come out and actually participate in the arts and are active on boards and volunteering, their contributions to the arts do not match the national standings. So the corporations have actually been pulling their weight.
Our Hoco Loco people are very arts supportive. That's great. That's great to know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in these tough times. I mean, it's
especially in these tough times.
Excellent.
Colleen, if someone wants to get involved as a volunteer with the Howard County Arts Council, what are the venues, what are the different jobs out there for them? Where are places they can get involved?
Well, there are about 20 to 25 arts organizations in the county. If you're interested in dance, there's, all kinds of, there's about, actually, in terms of dance, there's dance schools, there's about 22 to 25 of those. Those are not all nonprofits, but out of the 25 nonprofit organizations, there's, Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, if you're interested in theater.
Sure.
Rep Stage, again, the resident theater group at the college, always looking for volunteers. Very strong music programs, the Columbia Orchestra, Columbia Pro Cantare, Candlelight Concert Society, all looking for volunteers.
And your office is a good clearinghouse for how to get in touch with those people.
People call us, and we try to match them. We try to figure out what art form they are most interested in.
And you have a phone number?
Yep, it's 410-313-ARTS.
And your website?
HocoArts.org.
Colleen, this is tremendously informative, and I'm hoping our listeners have enjoyed the show, and we appreciate you coming by today and wish you much luck with your celebration next year and meeting all your goals.
Thank you, and I hope to see you all there.
I got
to
feel like you're some kind of a lucky Odom, because nobody ever has bought us warm cider and a little snack before. So.
Is it spiked?
We're going to find out in a minute. Thank you, Colleen.
Thanks.
Well, that was fun. I mean, this was a great show. We had somebody drop us by from Williams-Sonoma, gave us these little... hot apple cider today and a little snack. That's a first.
You know, I'm wondering how many more snacks we can kind of get from all these vendors and stores and around here.
Well, you know, it's a real different dynamic now that we're here in on the
I'm liking it. I'm really enjoying this.
I'm liking it a lot. And, we laughed. It was a great way for William Sonoma to get a free plug on our show by dropping us off.
William who?
Caution, hot beverage. You know, so anybody else who want to suck up to us, they can bring us by stuff. We're thinking of the Apple Store, which is
right upstairs.
They want to bring by a couple of iPads. We'll talk about them all day long.
Banana Republic right next door.
That's right.
Get your nice new blazer.
But it's good. You know, it's nice that not only can we have the guest on here and talk about the community, but also we can kind of get into the business community of Columbia as well.
Kind of on the retail side.
Yeah, on the retail side. So.
Well, and it'll be fun as the mall kind of picks up with the holidays approaching, just kind of seeing some more buzz around here.
And what we've done, too, of course, people who are listening can't tell, but if you are in the mall and you want to stop by, we've actually have a speaker set up now on the table, so you can kind of listen in as we're doing the show. And because a lot of people have been kind of walking by, they look at us like, what are those people doing?
And it's funny, the people that know you from like a real estate perspective, and here they see you sitting here with headphones around your head, speaking to a microphone, kind of wonder what you're doing. What's he doing?
You know what? People giving up a long time trying to figure out what I'm up to. But as the holiday season approaches, we got a pretty good lineup of guests for the next couple shows. You want to talk about our next guest on December 3rd?
Our next guest on December 3rd is Beverly Francis. She's now been the head of the Columbia Foundation since Barbara Lawson retired, I guess, last year. And has come in and just immersed herself into the community and has gotten real involved in other boards. And we're going to hear from her as to how her transition has been and what's going on with the Columbia Foundation and some of their new initiatives.
And then and followed by that, right before Christmas, on December 17th, which then will be our last show before the Christmas holidays. We've got some housekeeping to do about which show we'll have after the holidays, but... for the holidays, we thought it'd be fun to have the mall manager on to talk about kind of, you know, what's going on with the retailers in the mall this season and, you know, what's hot retail concepts. I'm particularly pleased. Denise was in the mall last night, and she called me on her cell phone and said...
And who's Denise?
Denise, my significant
other. Oh, your significant other. Right.
Denise,
just kidding.
Yeah. Denise called and said, the poinsettia tree is going up. And I think that still, after that couple of years, I think it was 1 year... where we didn't have the poinsettia tree, people still, there's that hesitation. Is it going to come back this year? And sure enough, it's up in all its glory right now.
Beautiful as ever.
Beautiful as ever. So, I guess that's about it for today's show. So, as we say, that wraps up about another episode of And Then There's That. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Paul Scalney, we'd like to thank our producer, Dave Bittner, for making us look good on radio, and to General Growth Properties and the Mall in Columbia for hosting our show today. We'll be back again on December 3rd with special guest Beverly Francis, the president and CEO of the Columbia Foundation, the largest community foundation in Howard County. The foundation provides financial support for a broad range of organizations that make Howard County a better place to live for all of us. We hope you'll join us.